From Decrypt Media, this is the Decrypt Daily. My name is Matthew Diemer. Today on the show, it's bloody out there and it's scary. And I have a special interview from Consumer Reports and their reporting on crypto hardware wallets. That's coming up today on the Decrypt Daily.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the show. Today is Friday, April 22nd, 2022. I'm recording this at 11:21 a.m. Eastern Daylight Savings Time. It is not week in review today. I'm actually going to do that tomorrow because I need some more time to get all the articles and links together. I apologize. I really ran out of time today, but we will have our week in review tomorrow. But it's bloody out there. This is my first comment of the day. It's bloody. I don't know if you guys have been listening to the All In podcast. It's a podcast that I listen to every week. I don't know if you like the guys or don't like the guys. I don't care if you like the podcast or if you like their personalities. They have great insights on the markets, great insights on businesses. Like the roundup on the whole Twitter takeover by Elon Musk the other day was amazing. So you should be listening to them if you like to pay attention to business and markets and investing and so on and so forth. But one thing that I want to point out that they've been saying for the past 6 months is that markets need consistency, or at least a roadmap. And the whole market's bloody right now. And it's probably because, and you know, I hate to, you know, make assumptions on why the market is up, why the market is down, but when the Fed comes out and says, hey, you know what, we're probably going to raise rates 50 basis points instead of the 25 basis points that they've been saying that they're going to do for the over the year, the markets are like, wait, why are you changing the game? It's really hard to predict business, to predict cash flows, to predict investments when the Fed keeps raising rates and being inconsistent. And so the market is down. I'm going to say it's probably because of that news, because everybody's like, what is going on? And they said that even before the Fed even said that they're going to raise rates. Are we going to raise rates? How much? Are they going to delay it? Are they not going to delay it? And when they said that there was a definitive answer, the market was like, oh, thank you. Okay, we know how to react. Now, they don't know how to react anymore. And so I think we're seeing a lot of uncertainty. Listen to their podcast this week. If they didn't record it already and it's not published already, then they'll probably discuss this situation. But let's take a look at those crypto prices.
Here comes the money.
Here we go. Money talk.
And now it's 2 minutes later, and I'm going to give you those crypto prices. We have Bitcoin sitting at $39,931, down 6.2% in 24. We have Ethereum at $2,982, down 5.3% in 24. Told you it was bloody. Tether is number 3. Binance Coin is at $409, down 3.3%, and USDC is number 5. Rounding off the top 10, we have XRP, Solana, Terra Luna, Cardano, and Avalanche. Total market cap, we're at $1.85 trillion. The market cap is down 5.2% in 24. A BTC dominance of 40.9% and an ETH dominance of 19.3%. And really quick, just out of curiosity, let's take a look at what the other markets are doing. The S&P 500 is down 1.2%. The Dow is down 1.4%. NASDAQ is down 0.73%. Yikes. Yikes. Now, without further ado, my conversation about hardware wallets with Consumer Reports. And by the way, sometimes I have these people on and it's just out of the blue. Trust me, this is not sponsored. This is just out of my pure curiosity. If I ever have a sponsored episode, you will know it. It'll be labeled and there'll be a special logo just to say it's sponsored. This is just me talking to Consumer Reports. Now, this is going to be an interesting one today. We have Nicholas De Leon, senior reporter from Consumer Reports, here to talk about hardware wallets. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm excellent. Look, it is very rare that a big publication or mainstream publication that looks at products is going to look at crypto products. We have, you know, a lot of people dipping their toes in to say number go up, Bitcoin prices, ETFs, things like that. But there are products out there that people are building, people are using. And you know what? Nobody's actually really going in there and reviewing them in a proper way to give the consumer of these products an insight of what they should actually be looking for, what they should be expecting, what they should be buying, giving some kind of pointer or push in certain directions. But you did that in your article about hardware wallets first. I want to ask you, why did you decide to do this? And why did Consumer Reports decide to do this?
Yeah, that's a fair question and a great question. I've sort of been paying attention to Bitcoin for a while now, since about 2010, when WikiLeaks first started soliciting donations to Bitcoin. At the time, I was a reporter for another publication, so I was extremely online. So I've been aware of Bitcoin for a while. And as someone who's like aware of this and who sees like the increased interest and like ads on the Super Bowl and so on and so forth, it's like, well, CR, you know, our mission is to, you know, help consumers make, you know, smart buying decisions. And there's a ton of these wallets out there. And I just kind of figured, well, why don't we buy a bunch of these wallets? I could, you know, sort of kick the tires, use them, buy Bitcoin, send Bitcoin, the whole nine yards, and just kind of give our findings, you know, and try to help folks who may not necessarily be extremely online, who may not necessarily be, you know, knee deep into crypto Twitter or whatever, just to give them an idea of like what's out there, what are their options and how these things work and whether or not they're worth the money. So that was basically the genesis.
You know, I think it's interesting that it's always somebody who has been following or into Bitcoin that has to push companies, these mainstream companies, to actually look at these products or just talk about it. It's like even these big finance, Bloomberg, Yahoo, Finance, whatever. It's like if there's somebody that's not into crypto in those institutions or those companies, they're never going to look at it. And so that's amazing you did that push.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's one of those things where, yeah, I've kind of, you know, we've done some Bitcoin, and it's mostly Bitcoin, but we've done some Bitcoin stories here or there. I've been at CR for about 5 years now. And so we've done stories here and there, but never like a real like pronounced kind of like push or no, like, oh, we're now initiating coverage of Bitcoin. It's nothing that formal. But I just kind of figured, you know, there's all these wallets out there, you know, the ads on the Super Bowl, like this has reached some sort of like mainstream level of whatever. I guess it's a thing. I don't know. But I'm like, hey, look, if this has reached that level, why don't we take a look? And so that was basically our thinking.
Awesome. Okay, so let's break down really quick. What wallets were you looking at?
Yeah, we looked at five wallets. We looked at the Ledger Nano X, the Ledger Nano S, the Shapeshift Keep Key, the Trezor Model 1, and the Cool Wallet S. I bought these wallets with our own Consumer Reports funds. These were not sent to us. We purchased these ourselves. I looked at them over the course of, I want to say, a week or two, something like that. This story took a little while to get out the door, just because we wanted to make sure everything was prim and proper. But those are the wallets we looked at, and I think in terms of like what's our pick, we named the Ledger Nano X as the one to get, basically. And there are a couple of reasons for that. One is that it is the software that you use for the Ledger Nano, it was the easiest to use, has the nicest user interface. It had the widest variety of like crypto assets that you could use. I like the size of the display. It just felt like a premium product. And if you're going to spend, you know, north of $100 on a crypto wallet, and you know, do you need a wallet? Should you just leave your coins on Coinbase? I suppose that's an ideological debate, perhaps. But like, I figure, like, if you're going to be spending money in a wallet, you want something that works well and is nice to use. And that was kind of my conclusion there, that you should get the Nano X, basically.
Okay, so you came to a conclusion, but I think we stopped. Jumped a couple steps. What are the prices of all those wallets? And then can you tell me about the criteria that you were looking at? Because look, I mean, yeah, there's the user interface, but if you're not a security expert, how would you rate the security? So I guess let's look at the criteria that you put into this.
Yeah, we definitely, you know, Consumer Reports is a consumer facing publication. So we mostly focus on ease of use, and functionality were the kind of the core things that we looked at. Is this thing easy to, well, none of them are really like easy to like pick up and use necessarily. You have to set up the passphrase and all that stuff. So they all took a little while to set up, but so ease of use and just like, what can you do with these things and how easy are they to use? Is it a hassle to buy Bitcoin? Is it a hassle to receive Bitcoin? Is it a hassle to send Bitcoin? I'm mostly focused on Bitcoin, just for the sake of the article. But those are the two kind of big criteria that we looked at, kind of ease of use and core functionality, basically.
And the prices ranged from
around $50. The Shapeshift Keep Key was $49, so let's say $50. And the Nano X was the most expensive at $150. But again, I felt that it's like if you're going to spend any amount of money on a hardware wallet, you want it to be a nice one, basically. And so those are the prices you're looking at, $50 to $150, basically.
You're looking at the functionality for the consumer, and you're looking at how it can just like the just ease of use for, you know, storing and sending Bitcoin. Sure. And you found that it was the Nano Ledger X. And when Ledger hears this, they're probably going to be very happy. I don't know if they've already reached out to you and said, hey, thanks for writing that up.
They have no idea I exist.
Okay. So I guess when you wrote this, what did you want the readers of this to take away from this? And, you know, this is subjective. This is your ease of use. You're a tech
guy.
Of course, you are,
100%.
You know, you know, you're doing like, you know, this all the time. So for you to pick this up, what do you want people to, you know, take away from this?
I think it is, I'm a real proponent of the not your keys, not your coins kind of philosophy, where if people are going to be experimenting with Bitcoin, if they're going to buy, you know, $100 a week, or they're going to buy $1,000, just kind of like call it a day and we'll see where it ends up in 10 years. I would feel more comfortable telling folks to have that Bitcoin on a hardware wallet that is under your control, that you don't have to worry about an exchange, you know, either, you know, like interfering with it getting hacked. I would just rather folks avoid that potentiality entirely, but just, you know what, buy the wallet, stick it there, and then call it a day. I really think that one of my kind of like, one of the reasons why I like Bitcoin is the idea of, I guess you'd call it sovereignty. It's the idea that this is my money. No one can mess with it. And you really only get there if you store it on a hardware wallet. You know, with all due respect to the exchanges, they're all great. You know, I use, you know, a big one. I'm not going to say which one. But I really think that folks should investigate. If they're going to experiment and kind of like mess around with Bitcoin, they should seriously investigate using a hardware wallet, just because that's kind of the point of Bitcoin. It is. I don't want to say personal sovereignty, but I think this is important to like have control over your assets. And really, unless you have the keys, that's not necessarily the case. So that's sort of like my kind of overarching like viewpoint here.
I wanted to shift to, thank you for that. I just want to shift really quick to Consumer Reports in general, because I'm thinking about like different things that you can be looking at in Bitcoin or the space in general. And a lot of it isn't physical. And Consumer Reports has a track record of looking at physical things, you know, and getting the products and figuring out how they are. But there's a lot of digital. We're talking about maybe MetaMask wallets and Phantom. And we're looking at, you know, like different metaverse or play to earn gaming just like, you know, all these different things. How is Consumer Reports going to or if they are or may already, how are they going to transfer like the review from the physical to the digital?
I think we're thinking about all of that stuff internally now. No major decisions have been made. You know, as I said earlier, that, you know, this sort of story was kind of like us recognizing that, okay, Bitcoin is a thing. We, you know, not that we're going to turn, you know, Consumer Reports into Decrypt, you know, overnight, but that this is something that consumers are interested in. They are searching about, and there's plenty of information out there, but I don't know how much of that information, you know, your average kind of YouTube influencer, you know, is he credible? Maybe, maybe not. I can't say, but definitely CR kind of strives to be that credible voice in the space. And yeah, as the space evolves, you know, with all the NFTs, in our editorial meetings weekly, I am talking about these topics more or less nonstop of all this NFT stuff. The you know, UFC debuted NFTs. It's like all this stuff. It's like this should be stuff that we as an organization look at. I don't know exactly what that looks like necessarily. Are we going to rate, you know, MetaMask products the same way that we rate lawnmowers? I don't know. I can't guarantee that. But these are all things that we are thinking about internally now, and hopefully you'll see some cool stuff soon. Basically.
Last question.
Sure.
One thing about the about Bitcoin and the space in general is kind of a shift from mainstream, a shift from, you know, legacy, you know, media legacy, just, you know, these entities, legacy money printers.
Sure.
And Consumer Reports is very much legacy. It's very much an established brand of consumer product reviews in print form. And you guys are making shifts different ways. Why should the crypto space welcome somebody like Consumer Reports to report on a crypto space and have the legacy, I guess, media even critique?
Yeah, well, that's a fair question. I think that we've earned our reputation of being in business for, I believe, nearly 100 years now. And so if people have trusted us for reviewing things as important as like car safety or baby strollers or like unsafe furniture, or in Mike, you know, I write a lot about laptops and Wi-Fi router. If you've trusted us for these important things, I feel like crypto potentially may be one of the next important things that you're going to be worrying about in the next 5-10 years. So hopefully our reputation precedes us and you will trust us to sort of tackle these topics with the same sort of rigor as we tackle car reviews or anything like that. So that's sort of how I'm thinking. You know, luckily, you know, internally within CR, there are some folks like myself who are passionate about the subject. You know, not every article I do is about Bitcoin, but I can assure you that I've been reading Decrypt more or less since day one. I am an enthusiast of the space. I am a close watcher of this space, and there are folks internally who are clued in here. And so hopefully, you will see a little bit more coverage on this space as the space evolves and as it becomes something beyond just the, you know, people on, you know, the Bitcoin Reddit or or anything like that, or on crypto Twitter. As the space evolves, I think you'll see CR, its own coverage evolve.
Nicholas De Leon, senior reporter, Consumer Reports. Thanks for coming on, talking about your review of hardware wallets and talking about Consumer Reports and marching to the future of product reviews.
Yes, thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Decrypt Daily. My name is Matthew Diemer, and I will see you tomorrow. It's going to be an early one because I have an early day. And until then, happy hodling, everyone.